Okay, today we have Parashat Shelach, but we're not going to do Parashat Shelach. Rather, we're not going to do the main story of Shelach, which is the story of the Meraglim. Okay, that is the main story, but we've done it in the past, and it's time to branch out a little bit, although there is certainly what to say year after year. But instead, we're going to do the end of the Parsha, which is another very, very famous episode in Parashat Shelach, plus a very, very famous Parsha that all of you know, that you don't always realize that you know. Okay, so turn to Perek Tet Vav, Pasuk Lamed Bet. Tet Vav Lamed Bet. Chapter 15, verse 32. We're doing listening along. We have chumashim if you want, but you're good.
Yeah,
hang around. Okay. There's over there. There's floating. There's a bunch of floating ones. She'll take what she can get. Right. Okay. Tet Vav Lamed Bet. Okay. Lamed Bet. Vayu. Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar. The Jewish people were in the Midbar. Vayimtzu Ish. Mekoshesh Eitzim B'yom HaShabbat. And they found a man who was gathering sticks, gathering branches on Shabbat. Okay? So what was he doing basically? Mechalel Shabbat? How?
Gathering.
What is the Isur of Mekoshesh Eitzim? What is the Isur of gathering sticks on Shabbat? Muksa? Would they kill you for Muksa? No, they would not kill you for Muksa. Hotza'ah, very good. It's a machloket. Some say he was actually uprooting branches, okay, which is an Isur D'oraita. And others say that he was moving havara arba amot mirshut l'rishut in Rishut HaRabim. Or even if you carry 4 amot in Rishut HaRabim, that's an Isur D'oraita. That's a chilul Shabbat. Okay? And it's actually the most, I don't want to say this, but the most insignificant of the malachot in the manner that, you know, like, it's almost nothing. Like, if you care, you could take a... Really? It's not like wearing... You could wear eyeglasses. It's something that you're using.
It was in the piece that I read, that piece in the Journal of Contemporary Halacha, was originally an issue of
Hatsa. Originally, but what about now? That's interesting. Remind me about that later. I will take note of that.
Because
we were learning Mishnayot yesterday, and we're actually talking about what a woman is allowed to wear, what a woman is not allowed to wear, and the Mishnah talks about all kinds of different things that are neither jewelry nor clothing. And he asked me yesterday specifically. He asked me, "What about my hearing aids?" I was like, "No, you wear them, and it's okay." But now that you bring that up, I'm going to have to. Thank you, Patacha. Perfect. Okay. So what do they do to him? That's interesting. They knew something was wrong. They knew he was being Mechalel Shabbos. They didn't know what to do with him. Vayakrivu oto hamotzim oto mekoshesh etim. So those people who found him gathering sticks brought him close. El Moshe ve'el Aaron ve'el kol ha'ida. To Moshe, to Aaron, and to the whole community. Okay? Vayonichu oto ba'mishmar kilo parash ma'yasava. And they put him in lockup. They put him in the mishmar, in jail. Because they didn't know what to do with him. Meaning they knew. So by the way, they didn't know what to do with him. What didn't they know? What's not clear?
What is punishment?
Right. What is punishment? Meaning, what do you mean?
What
Avera
did.
What?
What was the Avera?
No, they knew the Avera did. He was Mechalel Shabbos. Mechalel Shabbat.
The consequences
they knew a consequence. What's the consequence of someone's Mechalel Shabbat?
Stoning.
Well, we know that. So Rashi says, Lo Parash Me'aseh. Let's see Rashi. Lo hayu yodim be'eza mitayamut. They knew that he would be put to death. They just didn't know which one. Aval yodim haya shemechalel Shabbat b'mita. But they did know that the mechalel Shabbat is b'mita. Okay? I think it's worthwhile to point that out. Almost only because in our day and age, shechilul Shabbat, I mean, not in the yeshuva in which we live.
It's so prevalent.
But it's so prevalent. And the idea that, like, I think that we sometimes ignore these ideas that of values in the Torah, that it's like, what? Somebody who violates a Shabbos, that's a capital crime? And the answer clearly is yes. Chazal view the violation of the Torah. God views the violation of Shabbat in a public manner in which a person is warned as an affront to God, equal to, or even more chamor than Avodah Zarah. And it's an equal rejection of the dominion of God in the world. That if Shabbat is a declaration that I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and therefore he requires me to refrain from certain behaviors. So my refusal to refrain from that, those behaviors is a rejection of that idea. And my doing so in public is a public declaration of my rejection of that idea. Says the Torah, that person is desecrating God in a public way and demands punishment. And this is something that's completely antithetical to, without a doubt, any Western view of life or whatever, that, you know, where religion, freedom of religion. I think people could understand like blasphemy before they could understand Chilul Shabbat. And it's something that we need to struggle with. Meaning there's like, and it's like anything else, when there's a value in the Torah that's different than the values with which we were raised or we're exposed all the time, you have to wrap your head around that and understand it. And that even though we can't enforce it, it should bother us. You know, and I always think back, like there was this, when I was in Detroit, so next to the shul, right in Mamash next to the shul, there was this assisted, it was kind of like an assisted living, kind of like old age home, like Jewish apartments kind of thing. Mamash next door. And so one of the members of the shul, her father lived next door. But he belonged to the conservative shul, like, you know, that was actually like 5 minutes away, like a 5 minute drive away. A 5 minute walk on the way. But he was older. So very often, very, very often, on the way to, like, as I was walking into shul on Shabbat morning, he'd be coming out and getting in his car to drive to the conservative shul that was, like, you know, a 2 minute drive away. And it really pained me. Like, first of all, hey, like, we got a shul right next door. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a shul. And he liked to come every now and then. So
it's
like,
for the lazy.
What?
Especially for the lazy. The shul, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. So, and but I intentionally wanted it to bother me, the Chilul Shabbat. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say, oh, you know, whatever, what can you do? It should bother us, especially someone who values Shabbat. It's important for us to be aware of. And it's harder now, I would say. It's harder now where we live, like for us, because we shield ourselves from it. We insulate ourselves. And to some degree, that's good. But to other degrees, it's not so good. You know, and sometimes as I'm walking up to shul, I'll see, like, on Kvish Sheva, you know, like saying, like, people driving by on the road. We shouldn't pretend that it isn't there. We shouldn't pretend that it isn't a diminution of the dominion of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And for that reason, I also think it's very important that Israel be Shomer Shabbat, however formulaic it is, or at least in formality, that Elal shouldn't fly on Shabbat, that government shouldn't do things on Shabbat. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's a, whatever people do in private life, that's a value. And Shabbat is a value for our country. And I think, ironically, as much as a lot of secular people are against it, many secular people are for it. That we are a Jewish state. And that the Jewish state has to identify in certain ways. Meaning because everybody does it? Or because he was the only guy?
I think I remember learning at one point that an apikores then is not the same thing as now as someone who does.
Ah, right. So that's another issue that I've been talking about all the time.
There's so much then.
I feel like if somebody in our little bubble world here, you know, and I think our world here is a little bit of a bubble.
A little? Yeah, okay.
Right. but if somebody here who was knowledgeable went to start doing something that was Mechalel Shabbat in public here, it would be a little bit shocking. But if somebody just, you know, randomly, and there's someone who's Chiloni, you don't think that, when you see a car, I don't respond to it the same way as somebody who happened to you.
Even though we went back to Modi'in, after living in Modi'in and coming here, we took our kids back to Shabbat.
Yeah.
For Bar Mitzvah. And they were blown away that people were driving on Shabbat.
Really?
They couldn't believe it. Ah. I mean, we lived there for 4 years, people always drove on Shabbat to Modi'in.
Right?
But what I'm saying, though, is that I think the difference is in what happened here in our parasha and what happens, I think what you're comparing to, aren't necessarily on the same level.
Right, this very much connects to the shiur I gave to the men, to a bunch of the men on Shavuot night, meaning how do we relate to secular people in Israel today? Are they abandoning and rejecting God outright, or is it something different? You don't think so. I don't think so either. It's an entirely different shiur. I'd be happy to give it on another occasion. Okay? But, you know, I've spoken about it to some degree. But nonetheless, the chilul, the fact that I relate to the mechalel Shabbat in a different way, that he's secular, there was not such thing as secularism, doesn't mean that the chilul Shabbat shouldn't bother me. Yes, he's not making a declaration. He's not declaring his, you know, that his rejection of God. Anything but most. But nonetheless, this is not what Hashem wants us to do.
Are you saying that it bothers you less if it's in private than if it's in public?
It shouldn't.
Because you're saying that public is a declaration.
Well, the public we execute, private we don't. It doesn't make the act any less significant. Right? I mean, Chilul HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to keep Shabbat.
One is not keeping Shabbat and making the statement.
Okay. I'll accept that. All I'm saying is that, like, we don't confront, very often, we don't confront Shabbat. We don't confront the value of Shabbat. And it's very important when we read this to see it as a value and to uphold the value and to remain cognizant of the value and to struggle with the value. Like, what does Shabbat mean in a country that's, you know, in a free world? You know, people often talk about radicalism of the Taliban, that they're trying to impose their radical Islamic vision upon society. And I do a lot of writing about this. The vision of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt is to return the world to an Islamic caliphate. Right? You're shaking your head. The vision of Judaism is to return all Jews to Shabbat Shabbat, to the point where we come back to this point, where everyone is keeping Shabbat, and someone who does it is punishable by death. How does that sound to you? What? Good word. And now struggle with the fact that the Torah you're about to read on Shabbat, that you're going to go and listen to, is clearly advocating this barbaric, I'm here in air quotes, this barbaric point of view. That's what I mean by struggle with it. Without a doubt, in the messianic world in which we want to live, okay.
And that, in fact, you really are only put to death if you are doing it as a rebellion.
Good.
If you do it, and so it's not the same as the Taliban.
Why?
Because they don't bother with those niceties. They don't bother to find out if the person knew that what they were doing was wrong.
Really? I mean, can you just imagine the CNN news report about the execution of the man who intentionally drove on the Sabbath in order to provoke a reaction? I mean, by the way, what is this Mekoshesh? Who is the Mekoshesh? So Chazal say, it's very important to know. Who is this Mekoshesh? Why did he do it? Very good. I've got to find the Midrash.
One is Hashem is in their midst.
What?
It's clear that Hashem is in their midst, you know.
Right.
They're in the Midbar, they have the Anan, they have the Arman,
Did he do it? So the Gemara, I can't find where. The Gemara says that the reason why the Mekoshesh did it was because the beginning of the parasha is Shlach, the Chevel Meragdim. And these people were decreed to stay in the desert for 40 years. They're never going to Eretz Yisrael. So it was prevalent. Many people had the attitude, well, if God's not going to keep his part of the bargain, then we don't have to keep our part of the bargain. So it's interesting. Chazal say that this Mekoshesh, he intentionally violated Shabbat to show people, no, that the Torah still applies.
Oh, wow.
You ever heard that before?
No, that sounds like the opinion that the Meragim really just wanted to hold
on to the
Torah.
That's what Chazal say. One second, I gotta. You mean now you don't believe me? Now I have to find it. One second, inside.
I believe you, but...
One second. Here we are, I'm sorry. Lama Chilul Shabbat. The shame, the Tosefta, the Tosfot Baba Batra. The shame Shemaim Nitzkaven. I found it. He was Mekaven the shame Shemaim. Shayu Omrim Yisrael. Kevan Shenigzar Alehem Shalol Ikanes La'aretz Mimaseh Meraglim. Since we were decreed for the Meraglim not to go into Eretz Yisrael. Shuv Ein Mechuyavin B'mitzvot. Amad Amekoshesh V'chilel Shabbat. Kidei Sheyeh Hareg V'yiru Achirin. People would see that you still have to keep the mitzvah. Now, by the way, what's the word anthropomorphism? Oh, that's not the one. What's the thing about different times? Midrash, like anachronism. So one could. Sorry, wasn't anthropomorphism.
She doesn't know.
What?
Is there anything she doesn't know?
Not much. Okay. So very often a midrash, the point of a midrash is to apply rules of later time to what's going on in the Midbar. why are they doing this? And we'll see very often in Agadata, like, you know, stories or whatever, to show us things that happened in the Midbar. No, they're really happening today. So it's very easy for one to say, well, see what happened to the Jews, meaning now that we're not living in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah doesn't apply to us. Now, so the came the Mekoshesh to show you. No, that's the reason. He did it in order to make an example of himself. Does it make you feel better?
No.
No. That's what Midrash says. Okay, that's it. Apparently it's a Tosfot or Baba Batra, but I think it's...
Answer?
What?
Is there another answer?
Why would he do it?
Yeah.
Well, you could take the exact opposite point of view. What's the exact opposite point of view?
So that it wouldn't apply.
I don't care.
But in the past, the people, when they rebel...
Yeah. You want a group rebellion?
No.
Just wait 1 week. We'll read a group rebellion next week, right? Right. So the Gemara says quite explicitly, they got one Shabbos out of the Jewish people when everybody kept Shabbat. This was the second Shabbat. This is the second one. You know what I'm saying? I thought it's a little strange because it was like a bunch of weeks. You know, but well, how come they couldn't keep Shabbat more than whatever? So let's go on. So what they do? They didn't know what to do with him. Pasuk lamed hey. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Mot yumar ta'ish. This person shall die. Ragom oto ba'avanim kol ha'idam mechuz ha'machaneh. They have to stone him with stones. Skila. It is the most harsh of the mitot. You just know, of all the ways you could die, how many ways are there for Beit Din to get you?
Four.
Skila, strefa, burning. That's not burning at the stake. What'd they do? By the way, what'd they do? How'd they burn you? Nobody knows? No, they pour hot lead down your throat. You die that way. Okay. You guys need to go to yeshiva. Hereg? What's hereg? Chop your head off with a... I'm sorry. She's got a phone call. I thought I sickened her. Okay, hereg, they chop your head off. Chenek, and they choke you to death. They asphyxiate you. Okay, so but skila, stoning is the worst. They get you drunk. What? Choking is not as bad.
Lead down your throat.
That's pretty nasty. I don't know. I always thought it always seemed nastier to me than skila. Yeah. They get you drunk. They throw you off a cliff. On your head, right? And if you're not dead, then they throw a boulder on you. And if that doesn't kill you, then the people throw rocks at you until you die.
This is skila?
Yeah. That's skila. That's stoning. They throw you off a cliff 3 stories high.
They get you drunk for you.
Yeah, at least they get you drunk. What? They probably got you drunk for all of them. I bet you.
Yeah, but you're probably dead by then.
Throwing you off a cliff 3 stories? Depends how you fall.
Okay. 3 stories.
Yeah, not so high.
Why don't they do it 10 stories?
Because they didn't want to build a 10-story building. Like, they had a platform they did it off of. You know, they said, not everybody had a cliff. Okay. So then they stoned him to death. Call out then all the Jewish people. And I say that I brought you all this as an introduction to the next parsha, which you all do know. God spoke to Moshe saying, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem v'asu lahem tzitzit al kanfei bidehem l'derotam v'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf til techeh. Okay, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, and they shall make for themselves tzitzit. We don't really know what tzitzit are. Al kanfei bidehem l'dorotam, on the corners of their garments, l'dorotam, for their generations. V'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf p'til techelet. And they shall place on the tzitzit. I'm not translating, because the word tzitzit is... it's, if you look in the English, they probably translate it as fringes, but I bet you they translate it tzitzit. Right. And they place, art scroll will do that. Anybody have a non-art scroll? No? They place on the tzitzit of the kanaf. The reason why is because it's not fringes. It's tzitzit. And they place on this tzitzit, p'til techele. Right? A string of techele. Haya lechem the tzitzit. And it will be for you for tzitzit. Uru item oto. Uzachartem et kol mitzvot Hashem vasitem otam, and you remember all the mitzvot of God and do them. Velotatu acharei levavchem acharei nechem asher atem zonim achareihem, and you will not deviate after your heart and after your soul, which you ziznot. What is zoneh? Yeah, say it. You prostitute yourself. Okay. Lema'an tizkeru, so that you will remember. Vasitem et kol mitzvotai, you do all my mitzvot. Vitem v'doshim le'eloichem, you be holy. אני השם אלוקיכם אשר הוצאתי אתכם מארץ מצרים להיות לכם אלוהים. אני השם אלוקיכם. I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of the land of Egypt to be for you a God. I am the Lord your God.
Okay. This kind of refutes the Midrash.
What Midrash?
The Midrash that says that the Ish sinned because of good reasons.
Why?
This is because they're next to each
other. Ah, very good. That's the first question. What's your first question?
Why would it Sitsis be here?
Very good. What is the connection between Sitsi? Between seats. Ah, very good.
Reminder.
What?
Reminder.
A reminder. So,
that
was why I actually brought the Mekoshesh. What is the reason? What's the connection? Chazal first asked, what's the connection between tzitzit, okay, and the Mekoshesh? Very good. Next question. Let's go back to the text, because we know this text so well that we forget to ask about it. We forget to really analyze it so well. Daber b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem. What? You ever notice that?
Why don't Ziknei?
No. What bothers you about that? What bothers me about that? Right, double language. I stop there. I'll stop asking what bothers you. What bothers me about that? Right? You know what I'm saying? Daber b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem? Where else do we see that? Almost never. What should it say? Daber Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem tzitzit. Very unusual.
Okay?
The bear is stronger and ve'amarta?
The bear is softer.
The bear is softer?
The bear is harder.
Right.
So maybe it's a...
Good.
I don't know.
Throw it out there.
I'm thinking one of it's a command, but it's also like a teaching for children. I feel it's like a little bit softer language.
Nice.
It isn't like, you know.
Okay, I agree. Okay. Ve'asu lehem tzitzit al kanfei bigdehem ledorotam, on the corners of their begadim. Ve'nanu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet. And you should place on the tzitzit a string of techelet. Ve'haya lechem letzitzit. What in the world does that mean? Of course it will be a tzitzit.
A preventative measure.
What do you mean? You put on, and then it will be tzitzit. Okay, fine. Uri'item oto? What's wrong? Uri'item oto. What's wrong? What bothers me, again? Ayalachem tzitzit or uri'item oto? I'm asking a text question. No. You make tzitzit, or eat them, okay? I'm asking a text question.
Oh, tzitzit is
no? Closer.
And plural.
Plural, correct. Vayalachem litzitzit. What's the singular of tzitzit?
Tzitzit.
Tzitz. Okay. What's a tzitz? You don't know?
I do.
What's a tzitz?
Yeah.
Very good. It's the headband that the Kohen wore.
Even a little spalter is better than
nothing. No, bring your kids. They know too. Trust me. They're learning gun. Right? It's the headband that the Kohen Gadol wears. The tzitz has a hug. That's not the spalter. Go ask your kids what the tzitz is. I'm serious. Very good. Where'd you learn that?
In Gun.
Yeah, of course. He's looking at me like,
we have to go back.
He's looking at me like, you're nuts.
In Gun,
duh.
Don't you know?
Gee. Very good, Vitacha. Okay. So, now that we know what the tzitz is, what are the tzitzit? It has a very, like, the tzitz is this headband that he wore.
Wait, why are we wearing headbands?
Well, a tzitz is an adornment, right? It's a crown, like almost like a nazir in a sense. So what a tzitzit? There, this adornment. Very good. Uri'item oto. So what's my problem? Well, it should say uri'item otam. Why does it say Oto? Now what's bothering me? Now I have an ideological problem. Which you already know the answer to, but you don't know the answer to. Uri'item Oto. Vayelechem Mitzitzit. Uri'item Oto. Uzechartem et kol mitzvot Hashem.
Why should that remind
you? Yeah, really? How? So what's the answer? That you all know? That you've all heard? Well, you have heard, I think. You haven't? You know the famous Midrash about Tzitzit?
We don't wear Tzitzit.
So what? Another question. So what?
Well,
you don't know the famous Midrash? Oh, that's really, it's
well,
very important Midrash.
Well, that would be like a
yarmulke,
no? A reminder.
Okay, by the way, uzuchartem, how did the tzitzit remind you of to doing all the mitzvot? Tache, do you know?
What?
Why do tzitzit remind us of doing the mitzvot?
Oh, because if you're undressing and then...
Isn't that like a gematria and how many...
Spring.
Good, right. What's the gematria of tzitzit? What's the gematria of tzitzit? Tzadi is 90.
90 is 180, another 10 is
200.
Yud, right?
You did 200.
You did
it.
Tough.
No, it's at, oh, sorry. And tough is
400. All right.
So we're up to 600.
Good.
And then the knots.
Very good. How many knots?
Nine
knots. No.
13.
You guys do need to know how to tie tzitzit because, as I have to tell you, this doesn't happen all the time to you. You guys have to
know
all the time.
I actually went to a workshop because it was for the fathers and then.
It should be for the mothers because.
Right. I'm the only mother there.
Isn't there a halacha that women aren't supposed to knot tzitzit?
Really?
Yeah.
Uh oh.
Josh, I've discussed this with him before, but I
think. Why not? Really? I'm not familiar with such a halacha, but...
So I know whenever they come out of laundry, I just put them aside because I thought there's some halacha about
it. You made that up so you don't have the ties. You don't have to fix them. Okay.
Josh does.
What?
Josh does.
Josh, why would Josh make that up? He would want her to fix them. Okay. So, whatever. That's another discussion. How many knots? There are 5 knots, 8 strings. Okay? That you get 613. That's 613. Well, don't do times 4. It's close enough. 613. Okay. Plus, there's a problem with the gematria. How is it spelled in the Torah? Yeah, it's missing a yud, so the whole thing is off. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So I ask you, when you see the tzitzit, you say, wait, 9 plus 90 plus 10 plus 10 plus 5. Oh, now I'm not going to sin. Okay. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you did the math in your head and said, no, now I'm not going to go see that movie? You know what I'm saying? Does it really work that way? So, yeah, Irina, what's a midrash? What's the, yeah, what is it? Good. Good. Very good. Very good. Says the Midrash, Tanya. Says the Gemara, Tanya. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. Manishtana Tchelet Mikol Minei Tzivonim. What's, why Tchelet? That's the question. What's so special about Tchelet? Gemara, Sota Yud Zayin.
Sota.
I'm reading from this real cool chumash that I keep begging you to buy. Mipnei
she. I don't have it in the shops.
Baloney. They have it in all the shops. Just not this shop. Okay.
In,
just go to them and tell them.
I'm at the Shemesh.
Go to a website called Aron Svarim. Aron-Svarim. They have it all. Okay. Why? Mipnei she tchele domel layam. Tchele looks like the sea. V'yam domel rakia. And the sea looks like the sky. Berakia domel kisei hakavod. The sky reminds you of the kisei hakavod, God's holy dominion. So I ask you a question again. Right, 1 second. Oh, tchelet. See, sky, kisei hakavod. I'm not going to say. Does that help you?
I've never seen it. Why would it remind me?
What, the kisei hakavod?
Yeah, it's blue.
Well, first of all, you should see it.
You
did the boiling of the snail?
Yeah.
It's really worth it to go to the machon to the place. Okay.
So for the chilazon.
Right.
Oh,
it
cool.
It took me a long time until I finally switched. But now that I switched, like I switched when we got here. I bought it before we got here, actually. It's interesting. I bought it on the last tiyul I took before our pilot trip. We had a group, we were here, and we went on a tiyul, we went to the machon tchel, and I bought it. And for 2 years, it sat in my talis bag. I don't know why. What? There's some deep psychological thing going on there. And then I think I was a rabbi and I didn't want to start. I don't know. I'm not sure why. When we moved here, it's interesting. And then Simcha got a talit, so I bought it for him and I put it on mine too.
There's a
machloket about with yes, everybody knows it comes to chilazon. It's factual. No, the real question is very good. The question is, what is the chilazon? That's the question. And the Gemara says it's a fish that came up from the sea once every 70 years. That's all it says. So there are books and books written among this, right? They think in the Machon Tchelet, they think that there was a Chassidish Rebbe who thought that it came from a certain octopus in Italy. Okay, pretty much everyone except for those Hasidim don't use Tchelet nowadays, don't use his Tchelet. Anyone who uses Tchelet pretty much uses the one that they think they're pretty convincing. Did you ever go, you went to their thing, right? They're pretty convincing. They're not 100% convincing, they're 97% convincing.
You feel pretty, like, comfortable.
Yeah. Moreover, It's near, it's on the way down to the Dead Sea, in some yeshuv somewhere. It's really worth it to go. And they have an awesome story. It's awesome. All the kids now in the schools, they all do it for them. They do the tchelet thing. I'm a little more surprised that it never, that it hasn't...
Why didn't it catch?
Catch more.
It's expensive.
It is expensive. It is expensive.
You're
not
going to buy it for
your kids. No, I'm not going to buy it
for kids.
1 second. Machloka between who?
I don't know. I thought some people don't wear the blue because they're not sure.
Here's the question, right? It's somebody who wears tchelet. This was the thing that got it for me. Does somebody wear tchelet? Does he diminish on the tzitzit? What color does the tzitzit have to be?
It's supposed to be blue.
What color? I mean, what color is it? Does it have to be?
Blue.
Blue. And if it's not?
Not doing it.
White.
Wrong. Right. It could be any color.
Oh.
Yeah, you're making a statement.
What's my statement? It could be any color.
You're buying
I'm buying into the fact. I know. 1 second. I know that in the words that I say twice a day, morning and evening, there is this thing called tchelet. And I also know that I'm supposed to have it. And if I don't have it, I'm really not fulfilling the mitzvah in the appropriate way. That's clear. So now, is this the real tchelet? I think it probably is. But what if it's not? Is there anything to be lost by my putting this on my talit? Like, if it's not tchelet, what? Let's say this is, you know, neon green. Am I still fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzit, the Rabbanan? Absolutely. So, with no downside. I mean, what's the downside? You're looking at me. No downside.
I'm just surprised that you're this way, but
you are?
Yeah, I hear your argument.
With zero downside and the possibility of fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraita kitikuna, the way it's said in the Torah, I'm boggled.
What?
You should know Rav Schechter has tchelet.
Tell us. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying I'm surprised that the movement has moved that way because it's sort of then it almost becomes accepted as this is what it is. I don't.
And therefore, what? Meaning that the snail is not the chilazon?
I'm just saying because.
Meaning if Mashiach comes and tells me I'm wrong, you know what I'm going to do? I'll buy a new one, you know, whatever. You know, I'll buy the right one. Okay. Yeah. No, I'll buy the real one. Yeah, I want the. Okay. If he tells me I'm wrong, at least I tried. I was pretty close. You know what I'm saying? But if he tells me I'm right, you mean that for the past 1 second, how long have I done it for? 3 years and 2 days, I've been mekayem the oraita. Yes, you have. Okay. Terrific.
So the people that have it all white. Are not.
Without, everybody knows that I'm kind of there, right? Of course.
Not.
Of course, there's no way.
So why doesn't everyone do this?
I don't know. Why did I do it until whatever? I don't know.
Because the rabbis don't say so.
Well, we don't know. We always did it this way. This minhag avotenu biyadenu. It's also, it's a very, how should I say this? There's a Zionist question involved too. That's it. Why? Because the idea that we have found the original tchelet, right, reflects the notion that the Jewish people are returning to their original selves, not just nationally, but religiously and spiritually as well. And until all this time, we were unable, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has somehow given us the ability, and by the way, you have to, it's really worth it to go and hear their whole spiel, because the way they figured out that it's Tehillah is unbelievable. It's like you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, you know, gave us this epiphany, because until they found this nail, they can never get it right. And then like, accidentally, almost, they figured out that this is how they made the Tehillah, that it wasn't blue. The dye that they made never turned blue. And I mean, you don't just like open the snail. I have a thing here. I think I'm not sure I have it here.
Cool.
You don't just like, here it is. When we went, I asked them to keep it. Okay? You don't just open up the snail, it comes out blue. Right? There's a process, a whole long process that the Gemara describes to make the dye, to make the enzyme that comes out of what's in this little guy turn into blue. Right? And it's that's why it's so complicated. You know what I mean? And they could never get it blue until relatively recently, until they got it right. Which is why you'll see it's a process. Not all the blues are different. But we digress.
You can
show and tell. Yeah, every sure. You can go up here and buy it. They sell it all over the place. Sure. It's like 200 shekel. It's not cheap. 200 shekel. That's why I didn't do it for my kids. I don't do it for
the kids. Yeah, but for the mitzvah.
I think. I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
It's
you.
A good bar mitzvah present.
Awesome. Wow, it's an expensive bar mitzvah present.
Chip in with
people. Well, it's an expensive bar. It's also, you'd have to know that they'd want to use it. You know what I'm saying? But it's a fascinating question. With nothing to lose, why in the world wouldn't everybody use it?
I'm trying to think of equivalents, but I know this is a person has faults in their logic. But I remember Daniela saying a while ago about seeing some red heifer that was like, so if they had found a red heifer, they would be like, have some flaws.
If they found the para aduma, if they found a para aduma, without a doubt I would use it. Of course, to be tahor as opposed to tameh. Well, we're in a state of tumah. But the idea being that we believe, that I somehow believe, that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a real para aduma, that everyone agrees, if all the rabbanim go, I mean, I'm telling you, there will be a tumult. If somebody really finds a para aduma, it's not, all, like, you'll hear about it very fast. Because what do you do though? What do? What do we do with this now?
But if there's no Mashiach and there's no Beit Hamikdash and there's no definitive line to
what are you waiting for?
What?
What are you waiting for?
Well, that's sort of what I'm. I mean, I've heard this argument about moving to Israel, and like, you know, why did you settle in Israel if you don't have a proper, you know?
There's another shear that I gave. Right? Okay, another shear that I gave.
You don't have to bring it.
What?
I don't go to men's shear.
Right. You don't go to men's shear.
No, but I'm saying
it is available, downloadable on iTunes. So.
No, I just feel like, isn't there sort of a risk in sort of saying we found things?
Isn't there a risk of saying that we belong in the land of Israel? Shouldn't you wait for God to come bring you here? I'm saying we found this, and we think that it's techelet, and we would like to fulfill the mitzvah in the proper way, and we think that this is the way to do it. Now, I will tell you, it's very meaningful to me, and I'll explain to you why in a little bit. Okay? How, we come back to the Chumash. How, what's that? We will go on. Unstick yourself. How? Our parents didn't do that either, trust me. You know what I'm saying? Their grandparents for sure didn't do it.
I mean, but there are...
What?
Where the drama on the kapala.
But I think that most of us can look and say that it's ridiculous to say that you have to wear that in Israel or in...
Right? Not the drama, but the best.
Okay. Below, where am I? Where am I time-wise? How am I doing? I have 50 more minutes. Okay. One second. So we're below to two, and we ask, how is this thing supposed to remind you not to deviate against God? And then, the last thing we'll ask, the Mantis Kiru, so you will remember, Vasitim et kol mitzvotai. Reminds you to do all the mitzvot, v'yitem kudoshim elohechem, and you should be holy to God. Final question. Ani Hashem Elokechem, asher tzeitechem eretz v'lem, dotachem Elohim, ani Hashem Elokechem. I mean, I don't even have to tell you what bothers me about that pasuk. Right? Okay. I am the Lord your God. Got it. Oh, by the way, if I didn't mention it already, I am the Lord your God. You notice that the pasuk starts and ends with the same words? Okay? So isn't it interesting that these pasukim that you have said your entire life, when we start to analyze them, when we look at them a little more carefully, we realize that there's a lot more there. A tremendous amount there. So what's really going on? Let's go back to the beginning. Al kanfei bigdehem. So I got to read you some very important midrashim about vasula hemtzitzit. Okay, the pasuk before mekoshesh etzim, the pasukim before the guy who is mechalal Shabbat, talk about somebody who blasphemes God, avodah zarah. Okay, 1 second. So the midrash says the following: Elu shalosh mitzvot. This is the Yaakov Lekachtov. Elu shalosh mitzvot shenemro b'zoah charzo. There are three mitzvot said one after the other: avodah zarah, Umekoshesh uparshat tzitzit. Avodah zarah, the guy who collected b'chal chilo Shabbos, and tzitzit. Why? If you shekola kofer ba'avodah zarah, if you reject avodah zarah, ki'ilu ki'im kol ha'terah kula. It's as if you fulfill the whole Torah. If you reject that you have another God, God loves you. You're good. Okay? What? If you reject any other gods, if you say there's only one God, it's that you're fulfilling the Torah. Because that's what the Torah is all about. It's all just details, but it's about important details, but it's about worshiping the one true God. V'chol mishamer Shabbat. If you keep Shabbat, ki'ilu ki'im kol ha'terah kula. Okay? So if I ask you, well, there's avodah zarah, there's Shabbat, what would you say the third one is? On that level.
Tzitzit.
You would? You would have said that if I would have asked you before sitting in this year? You know where you're going.
But we don't do it.
Right. V'chol mekayem mitzvat tzitzit. Anyone fulfills this mitzvah tzitzit, ki'ilu ki'em kol ha'terah kula. Hare, behold, shalosh mitzvot chamurot yachad, zo achar zo. Three mitzvot, one after the other. So that's one juxtaposition. You have these three mitzvot, and tzitzit is so important, it's as if you fulfill the whole Torah. They were very important. It seems strange that this mitzvah is it's like Shabbos. Like, it's almost a little surprising in a sense. You know what I'm saying? I'll be interested to see if you guys ask me a question.
And if it's that important, why isn't it given to women?
I was waiting for that question. That's exactly the question. Who said it's not? You can unlock it. Yeah, go ahead. It's just because Moriah is... Right? Okay. If it's that important, who said it's not?
Well, I've never seen a woman wait.
Not a mitzvah for a woman.
That's not true.
Really?
Yeah, of course not.
If you wear a four-cornered garment, then you have to put tzitzit on it, but we don't go out of our way to wear a four-cornered garment.
Right. Why? Did I stop you? Who's stopping you? You could be very well wearing tzitzit now. Why? Mitzvah, why do women not wear tzitzit? They don't have to. It's a mitzvah asei shazman grama. It's yom below laila. Ritem otel chazal say. You see it? It's vizman shiritem otel. There's a mitzvah of yom. Actually, it's a mitzvah on the beged of a beged yom, not beged laila. Right? The garment of a day. So why don't women wear them? Because it's a mitzvah shazman grama. They're not mechuyavot. If a woman wears a beged yom, she's not mechuyavet. Truth be told, men are also not chayav in wearing tzitzit. It's a very fascinating thing. You don't have to wear tzitzit. Don't wear a four-corner garment. That's one of the challenges nowadays. Back then, all of their garments were four-cornered. Somehow, after the Roman times, we started wearing pants. You know what I'm saying? And we stopped wearing four-corner garments. We stopped wearing sheets. You know what I'm saying? We stopped wearing garments like that. So we fabricated these garments. This is an artificial garment. This is a ritual garment. Is the idea of tzitzit to wear a ritual garment that you wear during prayer? How am I supposed to fulfill this commandment and remember all the mitzvot of God if I only wear it in shul? One could very well argue that the one time I really don't need this garment is when I'm sitting in shul, praying to God.
But wouldn't I have put it on in the morning and then put it on in the afternoon? Like it wouldn't have been when they walked around
there? Yes! What would they wear? Like, imagine like your regular Arab guy, you know what I'm saying, who's wearing his... Like in India, that Indian dude, right, who's wearing the, like you know what I'm saying, the sari. Is that four-cornered sari?
Yes.
It is. Exactly that. So I wear my sari, and on the quarter of my sari is different than everybody else's, I have these strings on the end of my sari. That's exactly what it is. What?
They lived in it.
I mean, pachet is four-cornered, but it's not worn as a garment on the whole body. It's not, right, it's not, like a scarf is not 5 and 6 feet.
No, so my mother wearing a sari.
Your mother wears a sari?
Yes.
Cool.
She's
India. What?
She's India.
She didn't wear it here. To this.
On Shabbat she did.
She did?
Yeah.
Cool. So if you find, there are men's saris too? Are there men's saris? They're the same thing.
No, it's like
it. Is it all four-cornered?
Yeah, it's four-cornered.
I was going to say,
right? Right, exactly right. Like the Japanese guys also, when they wear their like Japanese ancient traditional clothing was like this. So that it's just fascinating that...
So many women who are Mappe Chemish Fet wear...
Where's Arlen's thing that she wears, right? If you ever watch an Ethiopian woman, that's their clothing. They wear this like thing that goes all around the place and then somehow they put the baby in there somehow. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's one long thing. This is a whole big long...
Do women have to put tzitzit on their...
No, they don't. No, they don't. Are they prevented from doing so?
No.
No, they are not. They are not.
It's a mitzvah. Look,
whose fault is that?
Our society.
That's right. Do I give you a strange look when you show up to shul trying to listen to the shofar? What are you doing here, you feminist organizer? No, I don't. How has it become that tzitzit... I mean, it's an interesting sociological question. Okay, I will not tell them what I call like whatever. No, okay, whatever.
I won't say anything. You can't do that.
No, come on.
Okay. You can ask her later. So,
in the time of the Torah, who wore tzitzit?
Men or women?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, did women not wear them? No idea.
No.
What? It's a mitzvah kiyumit. So all the men obviously put them on. Why would you? Would you think that the women wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah?
The clothes are pretty similar.
Yeah.
The time.
Yeah.
Can I change that a little bit?
Yeah, but I really have to get some really important midrashim.
The connection between Shabbat and Tzitzit, like, if you think of it in terms of Gan Eden, it's very different.
How?
Like, well, if they're both a tikkun for it, because we, like, in terms of the sin as a whole, like we did the melacha, like we had to then, like the onesh that we now have to do at melacha.
Okay.
And then we were clothed.
And then we were clothed.
Yeah. Oof.
You think in such a different wavelength than me, and it's so interesting. Really, I mean that in such a good way. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Amar, the Midrash says, no, there is nothing different. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe, Mipnei Machil Al Zeh Shabbat. Why was this guy Mechal HaShabbos? Amar LaMoshe Lefonah, Ribono Shalolam, Eini Yodea. God, I have no idea. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Ani Omer Lecha, I'll tell you what. Ki B'chol Sheish Limecha, Yesh Yisrael Tfilin B'rosho, Tfilin B'zura'o. All week, men are supposed to wear tefillin. Again, another example. Nowhere in the Torah does it say tefillin are supposed to be only when you go daven. That turned into that. Men are supposed to, I'm supposed to be wearing tefillin. Jews wear tefillin. V'ro'eh, and he sees the tefillin. V'chozer b'masav, it's supposed to, it binds you. A tefillin are an all-day thing. Achshav yom Shabbat she'ein lo tefillin, on Shabbat doesn't tefillin, zachen chilel zeh ha-Shabbat. Maybe that's why the guy was mechal Shabbos. He just forgot. At that point, Moshe said, God said, "Say you brought them mitzvah achat, she you know agim gam biyamim tovim shabbatot. I'll give you a mitzvah that they'll do even on Yom Tov and Shabbat. What mitzvah is that? Zo mitzvah tzitzit. It's a very beautiful, beautiful mitzvah. Very beautiful idea. How do we remember? I got to go to some other kind of other things. And the Midrash says, "Kol alech arba amot below tzitzit ki ilu mekoshesh b'shabbat." You go 4 amot without tzitzit, it says if you're mekoshesh b'shabbat. Ouch. Like, very harsh. Very harsh. Okay, so I told you about the one, tchelet emeliyam, blah, blah, blah. I didn't tell you another one. There's another, I think, more powerful Mishnah, Mishnah Rebbe Eliezer. Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shalom Omer, Lama hisahira Torah al tchelet? What's unique about tchelet? What's special about this tchelet? Now, to be honest with you, does it really remind you of, right, the yam? Okay? But what is it? What blue is it? You look at it, spend some time looking at it. Right? What?
Close to night.
Close. It's close. It's very dark blue. It's an unbelievably rich color. It is a very powerful color. It's very deep. It's not even like. It's like if you look at it, it's a very very, like what you know. Azure. It's a royal blue in a sense. Mm. Is it not?
Yeah.
Right. That the it's that richness of that color is significant. Right. Almost in. Like compared to your orange, the orange you're wearing. The orange is like orange, calls out to you orange. This color doesn't do that. Correct? It's not the shiny, it's not the red. What does that color say to you in a sense? Okay, Tammy, what does that color say to you?
Very regal.
Very much. Yeah. It's a very like stately, very, you know what I'm saying? Where else did they find this thing? Where else was this techelet found? We are in the Beit HaMikdash. First of all, the Kohanim word. So the Midrash says, okay, the Aron, right, Zalman Choshen, when they would carry the Aron around, right, in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, all of the other kelim, when they carried the kelim from place to place, they covered it with a covering of pure tchelet, and then they would cover it as a protection of skins. They would cover it with like a tarp on top of it, he says. But the Aron, one second, or tachash, they put the covering on it. Then upashu beged klil techelet milmala, above the tarp of the aron, they put techelet. Okay. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, said God, mishu osek b'Torah, someone who immerses himself in Torah, yavo v'yilbash levush haaron, he should wear this malbush aron. You also have to remember something very, very also different. What color were the clothing that people wore up until, I would say,
white.
Really recently?
Neutral.
What? Right. Why?
They had no coloring.
Dye was extremely, extremely expensive. And
for the rich.
What? It was for the rich, correct? Meaning only rich people wore colored clothing until they created synthetic dyes. And more importantly, it was really hard to wash clothes. So what color would your clothes be? Right. You know what I'm saying? You're not talking about synthetic cleaners and, you know what I'm saying? How did you wash clothes? They had bleach. How would you wash? They would take lye soap. They would take it to the river and they would scrub it. So they could get it clean. Right? But it was eventually everything got brown. It had to be. So on this brown clothing, on everybody's either brown or white or tan or earth tone clothing, what do they have? A blue string. So it really, really stood out.
And it didn't come out.
The blue didn't come out. Remember the Chazal say it had to be tchelet, not this thing called kala ilan. One thing you know, how do you know tchelet is tchelet? Doesn't come out. Doesn't bleed. Yeah. It's a permanent dye. And that they did all kinds of ways for you to sign and symbol that you can know. Yeah. I mean, whatever. They, you know. Although, again, it doesn't turn blue until the end. It only turns blue at the end of the dyeing process. It's not blue.
We should go to teal.
It's a really fascinating. It is very cool. Okay? So, therefore, it does give a sense of a person when you walk around in your clothing, but a Jew wears on his clothing, on that clothing that he wears, he always has this blue string. It does remind him in a sense of the Kisei HaKavod. Because he says to himself, the Aaron has a Kisui and I also have a Kisui. I am, in a sense, I am a part of the Beit HaMikdash. I house, like there's an Aaron, there's a Mikdash inside of each of us. And I have that string inside of me. And I think that's a very, very powerful, beautiful idea. If you want to know, it's in the Midrash. It's in the Midrash. You can look at it. There's in the Rashis. Okay, all of these Rashis appear at the end, the last Rashi on Ani Hashem Elokechem. Okay, there's a long, long Rashi at the end, the very end of the Parsha on Pasuk Mem Aleph. I just want to make sure where I am because I want to mention, I'm out of time. I'll mention one more thing. And this is a personal thing. There's much more to see. It's very worthwhile, very, very worthwhile to see the Kli Yakar on this. If you can follow it, it's a little bit long. He also asks our question about remembering. Just mention one thing. It says, Uri'item Oto. Okay? You have the tzitzit and you see them. What's Oto? Okay? So there are two possibilities. Oto, you see it. Could be, Oto means the Tchilat Techelet. It could also mean God. The Midrash says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Kol HaZariz B'mitzvah Zu, Zocheh U'Mekabel Shechina. Right? When you do this mitzvah, you're Mekabel Shechina, you see God, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So you see it, you see Him. That's Uri'item Otam, not Uri'item Otam. I'll tell you, Dick, but since I look at this mitzvah, I very often ponder, it's very interesting. Like the way you don't tie tzitzit, you don't tie tchelet tzitzit the same way that you tie, it's a lot in a row, the same way that you tie a regular tzitzit. Everybody agrees. There's a big machloket about how to tie it. That's probably also one of the reasons why I didn't do it, because you don't tie it the same way. You don't tie it the same way you tie normal tzitzit. Yeah, it's not the 5-6. So the chinuch says you tie it. This is the way the chinuch says, like on the tchelet website, they give you all these different options. It's hard to do it a certain way, right. Which is, I found it very, very overwhelming. Yeah. How do you do it? I don't know how I should do it. I don't know the right way to do it. Which is part of the reason why I didn't do it. Oh, why did you pick this way, not that way? Fine. One thing that I'm so fascinated about, if I were to ask you, how many strings of tchelet are on here and how many of white?
There's two tchelet.
Yeah?
There's only one
tchelet. It's four. It's actually interesting. There's four strings. One of them is tchelet. Right, but it looks this way when you do it this way.
It looks equal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why I find so that if the tchelet represents Torah and mitzvot, like what I find it so powerful is the tchelet, it wraps itself around the white in a way that it creates a very beautiful tapestry, like a very beautiful combination. That tchelet, like Torah, does not represent one string out of many. No, when you wrap the tchelet around the white, and you wrap the tchelet around the rest of life, right? The tchelet has a way of diffusing itself into the mitzvot in a way that's almost pervasive. So you re'item uto zechartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. That the tchelet represents all of the mitzvot. that when we do the mitzvah, when we follow the Torah doesn't represent something that's distinct and separate from our lives. But rather it's something that you intertwine with your life and serves as a powerful way of enhancing and beautifying all aspects of our life. I never saw anybody say this, it's my own chiddush, if you'll say, but I always found it very powerful. Ru'item oto, you see the tchelet, u'zchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. And you remember all the mitzvot. Right? The tzitz, the p'til tchelet, you see it. The p'til, the string. U'zchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. Take it or leave it.
So it's okay. One string?
It's one out of, you see these four? It's one doubled over.
So how do and we if know some people, what the rest is supposed to be?
What?
How do we know what the rest
Torah Shabbat Peh. It's all Torah Shabbat Peh. How you tie. Midah Raita, all you need is two ties. You don't need all this stuff. This is all Kabbalistic stuff. Midah Raita, you need four strings, and you need two ties, two knots. That's it. The rest of it is all song and dance. It's all Mesorah. Nonetheless, I highly recommend it. So, for your next birthday present, you can get your husband's chela and see if they'll wear it. All right, have a good week, everybody.
Thank you.